Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling, without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I feel like things may have gotten a little too aggressive there at the end of hour one. There was some negativity thrown out in the text line. I took the bait. I got a little bit upset. I'm going to try to right the ship. We're going to try to come back down here. Take a breather. Let's get things back down to a responsible level as we approach hour number two of our show here tonight. It's After Hours. Logan Weber here hosting, Jacob Mustard behind the glass producing the show. Doing a great job as always. But before we close out this conversation on the Royals, at least for now, right? We spent the entire first hour talking about them. I've got some other things that I'd like to get to here on the agenda. I did find some interesting stats that I want to discuss here, because somebody in the text line right before we hit the break said, but when you have a glaring problem, in parentheses, he put hitting, your team does not address that, what's the point? Well, the point is that they are addressing it. And I think the thing that people are ignoring, or maybe not ignoring, but that they just haven't seen, is that they are hitting better. And I've got the numbers to prove it. In the month of April, the Royals hit .224 as a team. Abysmal, right? Terrible. They had 10 home runs in April. In the month of May, they hit .265 with 20 home runs. That is a marked improvement. As a team, their batting average jumped 40 points, and they hit twice as many home runs in only one more game in the month of May. So far here in the month of June, the Royals are hitting .303 with 10 home runs in seven games. Batting average is up. On base percentage is up every single month. Slugging percentage up every month. OPS up every month. The power numbers are rising. The number of RBIs is rising. This team is getting better. And the numbers back that up. And here's another thing that I hadn't even thought about this. So the Royals so far this year as a team are hitting .253. .253 is their team batting average so far this year. That is seventh in Major League Baseball, if you can believe it. Now, do they suck with runners in scoring position? Yeah, they have been terrible with runners on second and third. I don't think that's going to last forever. They are hitting poorly with runners on second and third. That's not a question. I mean, that's a fair point that is being raised. But their team batting average has drastically improved every single month. In fact, with that .253 on batting average right now as a team, that would, if that holds or improves, that would be the highest team batting average the Royals will have had since 2017. They hit .248 as a team last year, .244 the year before that, and the year before that. In 2021, they hit .249. In 2020, they hit .240. 19, they hit .247. And in 2018, they hit .245. They hit .259 in 2017. I hate to be the one to break this to people, but the Royals' problem to close out the month of May and to begin the month of June here, and why you're seeing them struggle a little bit, pitching hasn't been as good. The pitching dropped in the month of June, or so far in the month of June. Royals had a 3.10 ERA in April. They had a 3.12 ERA in May, which is pretty good, but they had an ERA up over 3.5 in the last 2 weeks of May. In the month of June so far, the Royals have a team pitching ERA of 4.55. That's why you lost 2 out of 3 against the White Sox. Because the pitching wasn't as good in scoring position. And I don't think that those are two things that are going to last very long. I don't. Maybe I'm more bullish and confident in this team than others are. It's June. We've still got 90 games left. And you're 2 games above 500 and 1.5 games out of the wild card. You're right there. You're in contention. Let's not act like the season's not over, all right? You're not the White Sox. You're not 22-44. You're not the Colorado Rockies, who might hit 100 losses before their 30th win. Everything's going to be just fine. I promise. This Royals team is going to continue to compete all year. Changing the conversation a little bit, I want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, because OTAs continuing, right? I know, I said this last week on The Drive, filling in for Carrington. Rob and I were talking about OTAs. Take everything you hear out of voluntary workouts with a grain of salt, man. Because there's always something, right? This year, we're hearing a ton of conversation about, oh, Sky Moore looks, you know, like he's put on weight. He looks more muscular. He's in the best shape of his life sort of cliches that we hear every year. But I've read it. I've seen it on Twitter. This isn't just coming from one people or a couple of people. This is coming from several different sources that are either covering the Chiefs or in and around and involved with the Chiefs organization. There is a lot of information coming out about Jalen Royals and that he's been pretty impressive to start his time in Kansas City, which is a very welcome sign, I think, for Chiefs fans. Because you know what's going to happen with the top three, right? Rashee Rice, all indications have been him being back to a full go after the knee injury, right? He's not wearing a brace. He's competing. You know, he's participating in voluntary workouts for the first time last week. He looks really good. Mahomes has said as much. Andy Reid has said as much. I don't think there's a lot to be concerned about when you look at Rashee Rice coming back off the injury. Xavier Worthy, everybody's looking for him to build upon what he did last year. Having Rashee and Hollywood Brown back, I think, has opened up some doors for Xavier Worthy to try to be more of a deep threat down the field, maybe a little bit less focus on him, as well as trying to get himself involved in the return game. Dave Tobe said, I don't know if it was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, that Dave Tobe said Xavier Worthy is the best returner in the NFL that nobody knows about. That strong words coming from somebody like Dave Tobe, who is considered one of the best special teams minds in the game of football, for him to say something like that when he's seen some pretty good return. I mean, Mecole Hardman made a Pro Bowl as a returner early in his career. Tyreek Hill, phenomenal return man during his time in Kansas City. He's had other tremendous weapons, DeAnthony Thomas and Dexter McLaughlin. He's seen some really good guys return punts and kicks for this Chiefs team, and he has some very, very strong words to say about Xavier Worthy. But outside of those three, there's questions to be had. Who are some of the other guys that are going to get involved here? And they drafted Jalen Royals in the 4th round out of Utah State, who did some really, really good things. He had an injury that kind of bit him in the butt last year and limited his production. But he put up good stats, at least his pro day and his combine, sub 4.440s. And he's a big body. They say he's incredibly smooth, makes tough contested catches. I like this. I like the way that this Chiefs offense is shaping up to begin this year. Pro Football Focus came out with more of their position rankings, and Creed Humphrey was announced as the best center in the National Football League, that at least according to PFF, and pretty much according to anybody else who watches the NFL, right? With Jason Kelce no longer playing, Frank Ragnow just announced his retirement. The competition's maybe not as strong, but I think regardless, even if Ragnow was still in the league, the numbers still back up Creed Humphrey being the best center in the NFL to start this year. 913-586-7965. Somebody just said, the Chiefs are going to destroy and win another Super Bowl. I think that would be awesome. I just want to see this team open it up more again. I want to see them allow 15 to be 15 a little bit. And I'm not saying that it's entirely the fault of Matt Nagy and Andy Reid and the offensive coaching staff. That's not what I'm saying. I think they limited him a little bit, but I think a lot of that had to do with fear of what opposing defenses were doing. A lot of too high safety looks, a lot of, you know, hey, you're not going to beat us deep no matter how much you try. I think the Chiefs should try that a little bit more this season. Just air it out. Let 15 be 15. Let him make spectacular plays. Let him do off script extender sort of things and do what made Patrick Mahomes Patrick Mahomes for the first 6-7 years of his career. You still have defensive pieces that I think are going to be strong and help you. Trust in those guys a little bit and allow Patrick Mahomes to take some chances along the way. And if mistakes happen, which they inevitably will, put your faith in that defense. Put your faith in Steve Spagnuolo and Chris Jones and Trent McDuffie and Nick Bolton and the guys on that side of the football to say, hey, we messed up. We made a bad decision. We need you to pick us up here. Because that's what they've done the last couple of years. Continue to allow that sort of stuff to happen. Because, yes, you're going to make mistakes along the way, but you're also going to make some spectacular things happen. And if you allow Mahomes to be himself, throw the ball deep, take chances, have a little bit of that gunslinger that he's got in him come out, defenses are going to have to play you differently. Defenses are going to have to be like, okay, you know, we're going to continue the too high safety thing, but we're going to play our corners 7-8 yards off the ball instead of 3 or 4 yards off the ball, a little bit less press coverage than we're accustomed to. All right, here you go, Pacheco. Here you go, Kareem Hunt. Here you go, Breshard Smith. Let's try to get the running game going here a little bit. I think if you allow Patrick Mahomes to play like he's capable of playing and to play the best way he knows how to play, I think it makes your team better. I do. And hopefully we see that this season. Will it lead to a Super Bowl victory? I hope so. I don't know, but I hope so. 913-586-7965 is our number. And 816 just said, we have to take into account that Patrick really wanted 3 Super Bowls in a row, so I think he was playing it a little bit more safe than he would have normally. Possibly. I don't think that that's outside of the realm. I think that that is quite possible, in fact, that he kind of got a little bit tight, a little bit more conservative in his approach, and just because he was, so concerned about winning, you know, whether, and these guys say all the time, right? Oh, we don't listen to the outside noise, and oh, we don't really pay attention to social media or the media in general, but it's everywhere nowadays, and you could do your absolute best to ignore everything that's going on around you, everything that's being said about you. But in a day and age like today, the media onslaught that we all receive on a day-to-day basis, it's impossible to miss everything. It's impossible to ignore everything. And that pressure weighs on you. I mean, Mahomes has got press conferences multiple times a week. He's doing interviews. He's this and that and the other thing. He's out in the public, right? He's going to hear questions. And all year last year, it was three-peat. And you hear that enough times, it starts to probably get to you a little bit. That's not going to be on the docket this year, right? That pressure's off a little bit. Pressure that I'm sure those guys welcomed at the time it was happening, but I definitely believe that there was maybe a small amount of relief after the season was over to know that they didn't have that weighing on them anymore. They didn't have the thought of NFL history continuing to burden them as they go about playing this game that they love so much. 816915 says this draft has a great chance of being just like that 2022 draft. That would be a beautiful thing. If Josh Simmons can continue to do the things that we've heard about Josh Simmons, right? The reports that, hey, I think the Chiefs think he's going to be the starter and he's going to be this and he's going to be that. If he can solidify himself as this team's starting left tackle for the future, great. I think that puts them in a really good spot. They handled some things along the defensive line that could definitely help them in terms of their depth, make it a little bit easier on guys like Karlaftis and Chris Jones and Charles Aminihu in the future. Another person in the tech, Ken 816 just said, can we not have the conversation that he's not exactly a great deep ball thrower? that Mahomes isn't a great deep ball thrower? Is that the implication here? I disagree. I think he's a tremendous deep ball thrower. His numbers in the last couple of years haven't been as good, but I think a lot of that factors into he's not throwing the deep ball as much, and defenses are playing him different with the two high safety looks. I think that that is impacting a little bit of his numbers to begin the last, or at least the last couple of years. I think we could see that change a little bit this year. As long as if they do open things up and allow Patrick Mahomes to do what makes Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes. 913-586-7965 is our number. Appreciate you guys getting involved in the text line. Keep those conversations coming. We'll be reading those messages throughout our show tonight. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight. It is After Hours. Logan Weber alongside producer Jacob Mustard. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck-on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Head to dirtylabs.com and use code PODCAST to get 20% off your first order.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some big stories out of the National Football League today and over the weekend. A couple of signings, a couple of cuts across the league. Some that could have some serious implications for the Kansas City Chiefs, as a couple of their biggest competitors are making some moves. The first, in maybe the least consequential of these moves, was announced yesterday or last night that the Houston Texans signing Nick Chubb to a one-year deal worth $2.5 million, with incentives that could be worth up to $5 million. What those incentives are, I do not know. He's not going to start, obviously. I don't know how much playing time he's really going to get, other than as like a depth piece for Joe Mixon. Now, they do also have Damian Pierce on this team. They drafted Woody Marks out of USC in the fourth round, and they've got Dare Ogunbowale. So, again, it's just adding more depth to this Texans team. Joe Mixon has dealt with some knee injuries throughout his career, and so if he goes down, then a guy like Nick Chubb on your roster certainly couldn't hurt. I was a little bit surprised to see Nick Chubb go with a team like that rather than somebody he might have had an opportunity to play a little bit more with. So that was kind of the first story. The second, one that I will spend very little time on, Aaron Rodgers signing finally with the Pittsburgh Steelers after months and months of whatever the hell that was, of everybody just assuming that he was going to go to Pittsburgh, him assuming he was going to Pittsburgh, the people of Pittsburgh assuming he was going to Pittsburgh, but yet nothing happening. I mean, it was just so bizarre. He signs a one-year $13.65 million deal, including $10 million guaranteed. With incentives, he could make close to $20 million next year. Rodgers is going to wear number 8. He cannot wear number 12 in Pittsburgh because that's obviously the number of the blonde bomber. That's Terry Bradshaw's number. It's not officially retired. The team doesn't really give out the number. He arrived at the practice facility, signed his deal. Is it going to matter? No. I saw people on Twitter that were like, oh, the Aaron Rodgers signing makes the Steelers contenders in the AFC North. I'm sorry. Did everybody on the Ravens disappear? I'm confused. I'm sorry. Did the Cincinnati Bengals fall off the cliff that much? No, I don't think they did. I mean, they were 10-7 a year ago, and they had subpar quarterback play. Aaron Rodgers is not going to morph back into an MVP candidate again, not after two bad years in New York. I don't see it. You got DK Metcalf, but you let George Pickens go. You know, what they do at the running back position is going to be interesting. Najee Harris is gone. You drafted Caleb Johnson from Iowa. Of course, I'm very bullish on Caleb Johnson, but I don't know. This Steelers team is going to be buoyed, as it always is, by its defense. They're going to go as far as the defense will take them, not where Aaron Rodgers takes them. And then two other stories that came out today. The first, the Cincinnati Bengals have cut ties with linebacker Jermaine Pratt. Huh? Pratt, a 6-year starter in Cincinnati, was set to enter the final year of a 3-year extension that he signed back in 2023. He was one of only two people that were on the team's 2019 draft roster that were still on the team. The other is tight end Drew Sample. He started 88 games for Cincinnati over the last 6 years, and he had 143 total tackles last year, which led the Bengals. So the worst defense in the NFL won't sign a contract extension with the guy who led the league in sacks and is possibly going to trade him, and then you cut your leading tackler. I thought you were trying to get better. Oh, but that's what happens when you pay Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, and T. Higgins $120+ million. When three guys are eating half of your team's salary cap, oh, those sorts of things are going to happen. So maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers will finish second in the division again. I was kind of anticipating a little bit of a bounce back from the Cincinnati Bengals, but their defense is on paper worse than it was a year ago. Cincinnati, the way that they operate just does not make a ton of sense to me. But the biggest news of the weekend, the biggest news of today, is that the Green Bay Packers have parted ways with Pro Bowl corner Jair Alexander. After two consecutive injury-filled seasons, there was a contract dispute. ESPN called it an off-season saga. He has been waived by the team. He skipped all the voluntary workouts that the Packers had. He has appeared in just 7 regular season games over the past 2 years, and in fact did not play the last 4 or 5 weeks of last year. He was practicing. He wasn't playing, though, and then he got put on IR and had knee surgery during the offseason what he said was a torn PCL. So now, where does he go? Right, Jair Alexander, a 2-time All-Pro in 2020 and in 2022, but has played in just 34 out of 68. He's played in half of the Packers' games since the start of 2021. So that's where the conversation, of course, I've already seen half a dozen articles. Oh, the Chiefs should sign Jair Alexander. Whoa. The Chiefs drafted a corner out of Cal, right? They signed a couple of corners in the offseason. You still have Trent McDuffie. If the price is right on somebody like Jair Alexander, maybe. But Jair Alexander is being cut after a contract that was supposed to make him $17.5 million was declared too much by the Packers. So what the asking price for Jair Alexander is going to be might cool off a lot of teams to the possibility of going after Jair Alexander. And I think one of the first of those teams would certainly be the Kansas City Chiefs. If they're like, hey, Jair, we're interested in possibly bringing you to Kansas City to help this team try to get back and win another Super Bowl. Jair says, yeah, well, you know, how about How about 1 year, $12 million? Whoa, $12 million. That's a lot of change. You know, how about in the range of maybe 7 or 8? I think that's where you're going to see other teams sort of rise to the top of the heap for Jair Alexander's services, because some teams are going to be able to and be more willing to pay that amount, pay more money than some others are. The Chiefs don't need Jair Alexander. Could they use him? Absolutely. Would he make the team better if he's healthy? Yes. But there's something about, you got to be smart with the amount of money that you're throwing at people. 913-586-7965. I disagree. Aaron Rodgers will get them at least one playoff win. Coaching matters. Who are they going to beat in a playoff game? Who could the Pittsburgh Steelers possibly match up against that they would beat in a playoff game? Baltimore? No. Kansas City? No. Buffalo? No. Maybe Houston? The Chargers? Not in my opinion. I think the Chargers are going to be a really good team next year. I do. I still think the Chiefs win 13 games in the division, but I could see the Chargers being another 11 or 12 win football team. With the way that they handled their offseason, you talk about coaching matters. A guy like Jim Harbaugh, that's coaching. As much as I am a Jim Harbaugh hater, guy's a great football coach. I think they could win a playoff game, but they're going to have to play somebody that they can beat. And I'm not sure there's many teams that are going to be in that playoff hunt in the AFC that you can look at and be like, oh yeah, they can beat them. Can you think of anybody, Jacob? Like, who could we possibly see make the playoffs in the AFC that the Steelers would have a real substantive chance of beating to advance in the playoffs?
I mean, if the Patriots get a wild card spot, but then they'd have to win their division. So, you know, it's going to be if they can somehow tie and get the tiebreaker to take the between 1 and 4 seed, and they'll face a wild card team, whether that be the Chargers, you know, the Broncos, or whoever it stacks up to be.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I look at Baltimore, I look at Kansas City, I look at Buffalo, LA, Denver. I think those are all playoff teams. I think all of it. Houston, playoff team. I think they're going to be competing for a playoff spot, not a playoff win, in my view.
Yeah, that's what I think too. And then you also have, like, if, I don't know if they ended up tabling the discussion on, you know, the whole seeding arguments, but they could not even get a top 4 seed if they win their division. Just depends on how other things happen.
I knew somebody was going to bring it up. Oh yeah, and who has Justin Herbert beaten the playoffs again? Okay. Justin Herbert. Yeah, we're gonna continue the Justin Herbert hate. I get it. I'm not a Justin Herbert hater. I'm not. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he gets a ton of heat because he's in the same division as Mahomes, and he gets paired to Mahomes constantly, which is unfair to him and subsequently makes Chiefs fans hate him, which I think is uncalled for. It's unnecessary. He's a good quarterback. He is. And who has Justin Herbert beaten the playoffs? Who has Aaron Rodgers beaten the playoffs in the last 5 years? Has Aaron Rodgers made the playoffs in the last couple of years? No, that's right. He hasn't. Will he have based off the numbers, the Chargers had a better defense last year than the Steelers did. So we'd have that advantage. He's got a solid running game, even more solid than it was a year ago. Broncos have arguably the best defense in football. I have no belief in Aaron Rodgers anymore. I'm sorry. He's 41 years old. And he's coming off of the two worst years of his career that were a cataclysmic failure. Top to bottom. Maybe the only success is that he kept himself in the news cycle nauseatingly all the time.
I was going to say, if he does end up winning a chip, it's going to have to be very, very similar to the Peyton Manning Broncos Super Bowl, where he did not have the best year, but he didn't make too many mistakes. And the defense definitely carried that team, but they don't have a Von Miller.
No, they don't. 913-586-7965 is our number. A lot more conversation to be had. Of course, NBA Finals Game 2 was last night. I want to talk a little bit about that. And I've got a new show that I'm watching. It's on Apple TV. It's got Owen Wilson in it. It's pretty good. We'll talk about that one as we go along as well. This is After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. Jacob Mustard alongside your home for Kansas City sports.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Always going to hear some wild things when Aaron Rodgers gets thrown into the conversation. Who has Justin Herbert beat in the playoffs again? It's not an unfair thing to say. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been in the playoffs since 2022. He's 1-3 in his last four place. He's 1-3 in his last four postseason games. He's got a 12-10 playoff record overall. And a lot of that is buoyed by that 4-0 run he made in 2011 to win a Super Bowl. That was 15 years ago. He was 5-1 in his first six playoff starts. He is 7-9 since. And like I said, hasn't made the playoffs in 3 years. Somebody in the text line, 816, just said, so is Justin Herbert's comp Angel Reese? No. So I get where you're going with this because of the, you know, Justin Herbert gets compared. He gets thrown into conversations with Patrick Mahomes a lot. Angel Reese gets thrown in a lot of conversations with Caitlin Clark. I think that a lot of what Angel Reese does is putting herself in those conversations, right? She's very vocal. She's very public and very opinionated. And it's good for her brand. She stays in the news cycle consistently with that, but that's by her choice and her design. And so the flack that she gets is sort of, you put yourself here, right? You talk about Caitlin and you say this and you say that, you know, women's basketball growing in popularity is not just because of one person, it's because of me too. And I want everybody to know that. And okay, that's fine, but it's really more because of what Caitlin's doing. Justin Herbert doesn't put himself in those conversations. He doesn't go out there publicly and say, hey, I'm just as good as Patrick Mahomes, or I think I might be better than Patrick Mahomes. That's other people. Other people around the media, people who hate the Chiefs or hate Patrick Mahomes or want to see somebody other than the Chiefs be successful. Justin Herbert's an easy guy to point to because he puts up good numbers in the regular season and he's in the same division as Mahomes is. He doesn't willingly, voluntarily put himself in those conversations. Others do that. And I think by happenstance, he, whether fair or unfair, gets a lot of heat for it, especially by us here in the Kansas City metro area and as a part of Chiefs Kingdom. We have, or I should say we, a lot of people have this, I think, undue and unnecessary hate of him in a lot of ways. 913-586-7965 is our number. This is After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. Jacob Mustard producing the show, as always, doing a great job. Somebody in the text line just said, wow, a new Owen Wilson show. Yes, it's on Apple TV. I just watched the first three episodes of it today, actually, before I got into the office. It's called Stick. And it is a golf comedy. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, golf. I mean, can it be Can it be that entertaining? I've really enjoyed it so far. The basic premise behind the show is Owen Wilson's character, his name's Price Cahill. He is a former PGA pro. He had a great career headed in front of him. He was doing phenomenal things. He was kind of wowing the golf world early in his career and had an incident, I guess. They don't go into a tremendous amount of detail, but basically he was competing in a tournament and he had a bad shot and, you know, something that had happened in his personal life off the golf course just kind of affected what happened on the golf course. He ended up having this full-blown meltdown. Apparently he beat the tar out of somebody and it kind of kills his professional golf career. He's like at the beginning of the show, he's working in like a pro shop, more or less. He's like selling golf clubs to people, and him and his wife are divorced and he's still living in the house and she wants to sell it. And he's out on the golf course. He's doing like some, you know, he's a trainer and whatnot. And he's helping this woman who's putting out on the green. And he hears a swing. He turns around and it's this young kid who's just hitting the cover off the golf ball. And he decides he wants to hitch himself to this young kid and help him along the way, kind of be his mentor and his trainer and whatnot. Take him around the country competing in these events. And you can kind of see, I don't want to give away too much because it really is a good show. And you watch the first couple episodes and you can see hints and bits and pieces of why this is important to both Owen Wilson's character as well as the young kid that he is seemingly mentoring. Because this young kid was this phenomenal golf prodigy as a young kid, coached by his dad. But his dad was a little bit of a loose cannon. Dad was very, very hard on him. And eventually the dad up and just left. He abandoned his mom and him when he was still, 13, 14-year-old kid. Kid stopped playing golf. And so Owen Wilson is seemingly trying to fill sort of that void that his father left as sort of like the father figure and the mentor and those sorts of things. And Owen Wilson's character, I don't want to say for certain because they haven't made much mention of it yet, but they did show like in, I think, the second or third episode, there was like a home movie of Owen Wilson's character and his wife and their young son. But there hasn't been a scene involving the young son left, and the wife made mention about something like it's not going to bring him back. So I think possibly the son had passed away. And so for Owen Wilson's character, it's sort of like he sees this kid a little bit as the son that he had lost. And for the kid, it's seeing Owen Wilson as sort of like the father that he lost. So it's pretty interesting. I've enjoyed it so far. Apple TV, though, dude, like they don't put out a ton of content. But when Apple TV puts something out, it is usually an absolute home run. I mean, I got involved with Apple TV, of course, with Ted Lasso, like a lot of other people did. And that show was awesome. And then I moved on to Masters of the Air, which is a mini series very similar to like Band of Brothers or The Pacific or Generation Kill, which were HBO mini series, where it's about pilots, aviators during World War II. And it was a really, really good show. Then I watched Shrinking. And if you haven't seen Shrinking on Apple TV, you should. Jason Segel, Harrison Ford. It's one of those shows you don't go into it expecting to laugh that much because it's some very, very heavy subject matter. I mean, Harrison Ford's character has Parkinson's disease, and Jason Segel's character, his wife had just passed away, and he's got a teenage daughter, and he's struggling with the grief and the guilt and trying to raise a teenage daughter. And they're both therapists, which it's so much fun to watch that, and it's so, so funny. So I mean The Morning Show, I watched that with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston. Great show. Severance, if you haven't seen Severance on Apple TV, banger. And then recently they had Your Friends and Neighbors that came out on Apple TV with John Hamm playing this former like hedge fund manager who loses everything and is now resorted to robbing his friends in this very affluent neighborhood that he lives in. Apple TV puts out hits, dude. And I'm telling you, Stick is another really, really good one. It's got a good amount of sports involved. The kid that's in the show that he's like mentoring actually can swing a golf club. Like, he's got a good swing. It's not your normal sports show where you're like, oh my God. That's one of my biggest pet peeves with like sports movies or sports television shows is when the actor or actress can't actually compete in the sport. Like, they'll throw a football or a baseball or they'll shoot a basketball and you're like, that's the ugliest jump shot I've ever seen. Like, I know that person can act, but good God, can we not sort through at least a little bit of this, please? For the love of God. I haven't seen that in Stick. It's pretty good. Somebody just said, isn't there a Seth Rogen show on now too? Yeah, I think it's called The Studio. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's pretty good. And it's sort of like, as far as I know, I think they kind of play, he's like the head of a movie studio or something. And they bring in a bunch of actors for these like guest roles and stuff. And these actors portray themselves. Like, my dad was telling me about an episode with Ron Howard. And Ron Howard just like goes on this profanity-laced tirade or something, and it's hysterical. So I should sit down and watch that too. But I'm a huge movie and TV guy. And if you're a sports fan or you're a golf fan, Stick on Apple TV, Owen Wilson starring in it. It's pretty good so far. They've only got the first three episodes up, but I would urge you to watch it if you have a chance. 913-586-7965 is our number. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard, your home for Kansas City sports. Well, Jacob, I've got a headline for you. Closing out hour number two of After Hours here on this Monday night. Logan Weber alongside producer Jacob Mustard. ESPN with this headline. Patriots Drake May, quote, starting to find a stride in new offense. Do we have belief in that, Jacob? What do we think, Patriots fan?
I mean, yeah, you got to be hopeful for him. I mean, he didn't put on the show that Jaden Daniels did, but... You know, for how much hate Josh McDaniels gets for being a head coach, which is very, very, very deserved, he is still a great offensive coordinator. I think he will be able to help Drake May develop. The only thing we have to watch out for is our wide receiver one and hoping he's coming back.
What, trouble in paradise with your boy Stephon Diggs, huh?
Possibly.
Are we concerned about the boat parties? Is that what we're saying?
I'm not, but Boston media is some of the worst that you can have. And this comes from like me paying attention to them, and I'm not trying to trash other medias, but they overreact at everything, and it's just like,
it's the offseason. My man's is just having fun with lots and lots and lots of women on a boat. I don't know what to tell you. Meanwhile, he's reportedly dating Cardi B. I'm not going to speculate. Yeah, Josh McDaniels. Man, I look forward to the storyline in 2028 when this man is hired as a head coach for the third time and then gets fired again and then gets rehired by the New England Patriots to be the offensive coordinator again. This is his third stint as the Patriots offensive coordinator. Like, at a certain point, Josh, read the room. Read the room, man. This is the job, okay? The stepping stone no longer exists, okay? You tried. You had good years in New England. You went to Denver. Yikes. You go back. You have good years in New England. You go to Las Vegas. Yikes. Just stick around this time, all right? You know, Boston's where you belong. Let's just stay in Massachusetts, okay? Let's just stay in New England. Make that job work for a while. Is that unfair? I think this is the ceiling for you, Josh. Being an NFL head coach doesn't appear to be in the cards for you. But who knows? 3-4 years down the line, if Drake May turns into a pretty good quarterback and the Patriots get back to having, you know, some semblance of relevancy and some playoff success, somebody, some GM, some owner out there is going to go completely out of his mind and hire Josh McDaniels again to be their head coach. No, it's different this time. It's different this time. It won't be. 913-586-7965 is our number. We talked a little bit about Stick, the new show on Apple TV. It's about Owen Wilson plays an old golf pro who finds a young golf prodigy and begins to mentor him. But I mentioned Ted Lasso, and season 4 is confirmed. They believe that production will begin next month, and season 4 could be released in 2026. I want to talk a little bit about Ted Lasso in the last hour of our program here tonight. With you till 9 o'clock, this is After Hours, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard. Stick around, this is your home for Kansas City sports.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling, without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Head to DirtyLabs.com and use code PODCAST to get 20% off your first order.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.